sandwich. Run, I say! Run!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well now, welcome back. We've been waiting for you since yesterday. Here we are, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll be with you until 5 here on the Guy James Show, part of the Head On Radio Network. Glad to have all of you with us today. Another dreary afternoon here in Southwest Florida. Warm, but somewhat dreary. I don't know where all this cloudiness is coming from, but it's got to stop. All the visitors here, all the snowbirds that are here, they don't like that. They like to go to the beach and get their suntans. You can always tell who the Floridians are. They're the ones that are white as a sheet, and all the visitors are nice and tan. That's kind of how it goes. How are you today? Yeah, keeping up on all the news and Britney Spears and what's that other girl, the Hilton girl, and Britney's sister. And I watched that celebrity news for about 15 minutes, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to drop out of this. I don't even know who most of these people are. I guess I do know who Britney Spears is, and I do know who the Hilton girl is, but the rest of them they talk about, I just don't know. We were discussing that yesterday, showbiz stuff. I'm woefully behind on showbiz. I guess I don't like a lot of it nowadays, so I just kind of stay away. There are no Humphrey Bogarts, I don't know. I just think it's different today. Meryl Streep. She's starting to get a little older now, but I think Meryl Streep's the greatest female actress ever. Ever. And always enjoyed her work. But, yeah, showbiz is passing me by, so we won't talk a lot about that today, certainly not. I did see the folks on TV. This wasn't on TV, it was on the news, but there's a group calling on the folks over at Viagra, the makers of Viagra, to cut back on the ads. Yeah, they're going to do that. They say it promotes AIDS. I don't know what the association is there. Anyway, I guess they say more sex, more AIDS. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, I doubt they're going to do that anytime soon. And I saw a cute site today. had a whole bunch of these on it, but I'll only give you one. Crazy gift tags that you might put on a gift. And I thought this one was rather interesting. It's if you're going to give a gift at the office, here's what you put on the tag. Ho, 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 my ass. Just accept this secret Santa gift as the impersonal workplace obligation it is. I wonder how many people have been thinking that over the years. Boy, I guess so. I do see that it appears that Junior Bush is going to be asking for more troops to head over to Iraq. He's going to wait till after Christmas to do it. What's up with that, waiting till after Christmas? Why not give everybody the news right now? He says he wants to make sure that the change in Iraq is right. He says he doesn't want to be rushed on the strategy. He wants to make sure. If that isn't a hoot, I don't know what is. Junior wants to make sure. Oh, and before I forget, we're going to have Vic Camber, well-known Democratic strategist, with us on the program, coming up in about 25 minutes or so. So I better get on with it. I won't have everything said that I want to say before Vic gets in here. Always good, and you can catch his blog at VicCamber.com. And we're going to talk about the 08 presidential candidates from both sides of the aisle. So that'll be good. Did you see any of that little deal that Junior Bush was saying, that latest speech of his this morning? I tell you, it's hard for me to believe that anybody is listening to him at all anymore. It's kind of like I mentioned the other day. It's just kind of like watching Wile E. Coyote speak. Certainly nobody believes him. I think he can talk all he wants. I think he can give all the speeches he wants. I don't think anybody will believe him except that 21% or 31% or whatever it is. But when you see him speak, it's part funny and it's part tragic. You know, that Wile E. Coyote thing. You expect, when Bush is standing there talking, now you expect to see some sort of a big shipping crate be dropped on him with the label Acme on it. You know, something like that. I had a whole list of things I wanted to talk about today, and I think what I will talk about here, I want you to listen to this in case, where are we at here? I've got to find this. In case you didn't hear this.
NBC News, Wall Street Journal poll that we've got out today that essentially says only 2 in 10
Laura O'Donnell
approve of the job that the president's doing on Iraq. And Mrs. Bush defended her husband vigorously. Take a listen.
It is not encouraging coverage for sure. There's no doubt about it. But I do know that there are a lot of good things that are happening that aren't covered. Mm-hmm. And I think the drumbeat in the country from the media, from the only way people know what's happening, unless they happen to have a loved one deployed there, is discouraging.
She says that she hopes that there is more balanced coverage by the media, in her words. She also said, I understand why the polls are what they are, because she says of the coverage we see every single day in Iraq.
Well, Laura's got it right, huh? It's the press's fault. You know, I think this interview was just frightening. First of all, I don't care that much for Laura O'Donnell. But, you know, here she sits asking this whacked-out Stepford wife about the new poll numbers concerning the war. And she comes back that the numbers are low because the media has painted some sort of an unrealistically bad picture of the war. She said it's not the people's fault because the news is all they've got to go on, but the media has only reported the bad things and not enough of the good things. You know, when the Iraq Study Group gave their report, they said the media had not been doing their job very well. They said they had not been reporting how bad it was. You understand that, Laura? It's worse, a lot worse than the press says it is. How many pictures have you seen of, like, we see all these phony reports coming from there? How about let's see John Stossel at the morgue interviewing the director of the Baghdad morgue? How about we get the John Stossel to take us in the back of the Baghdad morgue with all the semi-truck refrigerator trucks back there full of maimed and horribly mutilated bodies and body parts? How about we see that? Have any of you seen that on TV? I haven't. How about Ollie North? Here he is interviewing people over there for Fox News. How about sending him out and interviewing the people that have lost their kids and their wives and so forth in Iraq? How about interviewing the families of people that have lost loved ones in Iraq, Ollie? How about doing that? Have you seen any of that? No. You know, somebody hooked me up with Laura's pharmacist. I want some of what she's taking. How about just showing the world the actual pictures of the people picking up body parts off of the street, fingers and arms and shoulders and their guts. How about showing the kids and the women who are slaughtered before they're carted off to the morgue? How about the headless torsos that they never show? Have you seen any of that on TV, Laura? I think we've been getting a completely sanitized version from Iraq. What are the good things happening in Iraq, Laura? What are they? You mean good news like the second mass kidnapping in a month in Baghdad by the gunmen in the military uniforms? That's good news? Or the 60 or 70 people that were killed in Baghdad yesterday? Is that the good news you were talking about? The workers that didn't have jobs that were standing there thinking that people were coming to get them so they'd be employed to have so they could take food to their family? Was that the good news, Laura? You know, let's not forget all the schools we painted. I don't want to make light of this. Yes, we've painted some schools. You know, if the media did balanced reporting like she's talking about, there'd be less than 2 in 10 approving Bush's handling of the destruction of Iraq. I can't believe 20% of the Americans are that stupid. People out searching for jobs blown up by a couple of car bombs. But let's think of the positive side. These people no longer need work, so there's fewer people searching for jobs. Maybe Laura meant that there's less unemployment in Iraq now. Car bombs. Car bombs are really addressing the unemployment situation, which is as high as 40% what we hear. Oh, yes. It's wonderful news, Laura. The media just hasn't done their job. Let me ask you, if there's so much good news in Iraq, why isn't Fox News reporting it? It's just not fair. The news media won't report on all the great public works projects we're doing for Iraq. It's those stupid Iraqi civilians that won't let us film them or take pictures of them because they're afraid of getting slaughtered by insurgents for working with the United States. We just want to show everybody what a great place it is and how all those reports of violence are so untrue. Yeah, Laura, let's start showing the good news. She says the only news we get is from the media, unless you have loved ones there. She seemed to stumble on that one a little bit. At least Nora O'Donnell sounded a little dumbfounded by Laura's remarks. They were the remarks of an idiot. Certainly the remarks of an idiot. Yes, Stand By Your Man, dedicated to Laura Bush. Laura, a wonderful thing you've done by standing by your man. Hey, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Greg from Connecticut.
Hi, Greg.
Now, I have an important question about Laura Bush, and I hope you have an answer.
Ooh.
Is she battery-operated or petroleum?
Now, that's not a fair question. How would I find out which it is?
I don't know.
Does she have a zipper that runs all the way down the back, you know, like these stuffed animals where you put in, I don't know, a dozen sea cells or petroleum? I don't see any smoke coming any place or from anywhere, so she has clean emissions at least.
That's true. I always thought they had some special charger for her for the road or something like that.
Oh, my God. The woman...
But I wanted to mention, you talked about the list of wonderful things that's going on in Iraq. One of the things that I heard not too long ago on the Al Franken show, they were talking about Laura Bush's pet project to build this state-of-the-art hospital in Basra. Okay, and I forget how much it cost, $50, $60, $70 million, something like that. And this thing is closed because most of the time they don't have electricity to have it. They don't have the money to run the equipment for it, so it's just sitting there. See, instead of building little clinics all over Iraq to help, you know, the children and victims, things like that, they wanted a big showboat, state-of-the-art hospital in Basra that is empty now.
Wow. And she promised them, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 hospitals and clinics around that country, and there's only six of them completed, from what I hear. Too much violence to even do any building now.
Well, and you know, Laura Bush is such an advocate of women. You know, she loves to talk about Afghanistan and how, you know, the girls can go to school. Well, now, you know, any teacher who teaches girls in Afghanistan is pretty much murdered or his house is blown up. So women in Afghanistan have pretty much gone back to wearing burqas and cannot get education anymore. So, you know, as much as we look at the disaster in Iraq, we cannot forget about the ultra disaster that we left back in Afghanistan, too.
How'd you like to be walking down the street and it's 120 degrees out and you got one of those burqas on? I wonder what that's like.
Yeah, and imagine having no, you know, no electricity for months or years at a time, you know, and, you know, I read something that the biggest thing we could have done for the people of Afghanistan was to give everybody three goats. You know, instead of going in attack like we did, you know, they would have been a better benefit from it.
Oh, yeah, and you know, we're starting to lose Afghanistan back to the Taliban, and what a shame. We don't have enough people there to hold down the fort anymore. It's been abandoned, all for this political ploy that Bush was trying to pull off in Iraq.
And when you consider that that continues to be the hotbed of Al-Qaeda, you know, it's ridiculous. When you look at the London train bombing, everything gets traced back to Pakistan and things like that and right on the border there, but yet we continue to ignore it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So that's just more good news that the media is not reporting.
Well, they just missed it. I don't know how they missed it, but they did.
Well, speaking of another good news story, I'll shift base, and then if you want to go back to where you can. Just talking about the story, I think you heard about Senator Tim Johnson who got
Yes.
Well, it took about 2 seconds for Fox News and Associated Press to come on and say, well, the Republican governor can replace him, and then the control of the Senate can go back to the Republicans. Isn't that amazing? You know, when it's about Terry Schiavo, we value life, you know. But if it's a Democratic senator, we want him dead, you know, so we can have control back of the Senate.
Excellent point. Excellent point. You're exactly right. Flew people after midnight back to Washington, even the President of the United States, to try and save Terry Schiavo, who didn't want to be saved. And you're exactly right. You couldn't be more right.
Mm. Yeah, and finally, before you get to your guest, I thought this might be a good lead-in into it. I kind of wanted to talk about Barack Obama, because basically for Barack Obama, there are two issues I think that have to be addressed. First is the issue of race. I mean, we saw what happened with Harold Ford. I was not particularly a big fan of Harold Ford because of his stances on a lot of things. Thought he was kind of Lieberman light. But, I mean, I think that race ultimately played a role in it. So we have to ask the question, can someone who is African American at this point be elected a president? And I don't know. That's point one. Now, point two is, you know, I have issues with Barack Obama in general, because if you look at his record, he's been extremely middle of the road. You know, he takes very few courageous stands. You know, he's like Hillary, I think, in many ways, that he looks and sees, and that he gives a nice, you know, nice speech about things, but doesn't really come through in terms of being a progressive. And I just wanted to know your thoughts on both those.
I completely agree with you. Barack is a little too much in the middle of the road for me, so is Hillary. Both of them are a little too DL, not a little too, a lot too DLC for me. I'm not exactly sure if Obama's a member of the DLC, but I don't like these middle of the road con job standings. I don't. Take a position and fight for it. That's the courageous way to do it. That's the right way to do it. Let's not vote for somebody and then find out later there's something else. Just be honest, that's all.
Yeah, and you know, and just, I'm amazed when people see Barack Obama as, you know, the great hope of the party. I mean, yes, he's very articulate.
Sure.
Very good speeches. But, you know, seeing like, for instance, how he completely abandoned Ned Lamont because it wasn't convenient to do so, you know, or things like that. I mean, you start to say, well, how is he really that different from Hillary? And, of course, it would be wonderful for us to have an African-American president and a Chinese female president and everything else. But, you know, just looking at his character in general, I just don't know if that's what we want. And I think that it could be alienating in terms of his middle of the road position.
I would just I love politicians that you want to find out something from them or if they're checking on what they ought to do for about an issue. I want one that answers bingo right now. without having to check the polls, without having to check his consultants, his, hers, whatever. Just give me what's in your heart.
Yeah.
And that's all I want. If that's what's in your heart, fine and good. But if it's something that's a political calculation, that's a whole other story.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that might be food for thought for the
Yeah, game. We'll bring that up with Vic when he comes on.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, as usual, Guy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's head on over to line two here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I just wanted to make a little comment. The previous caller, I forgot his name, I'm sorry. But
Eric.
Eric, yeah. And he was talking about the hospital over in that Laura had built.
Mm-hmm.
Had built. And I get TV free speech on my, I have Dish Network. And it's got a lot, you know, it's got Amy Goodman and all like that. But any Democracy Now! And so mm-hmm. forth. And they have a lot of different things they show on there. It's just a whole variety of things, you know. It's a liberal side view, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see the whole thing, but I'm going to be looking out for it. But they showed this hospital that, and it was huge. I mean, it looked beautiful, you know, from the outside. And they had these Iraqi doctors showing them the inside. And it had raw sewage coming up in it. It showed the huge operating room that had leaky floors, you know, even had ants coming up through the floors.
Oh, my.
Cracks. It was just unbelievable. They were showing, you know. And the people that contracted it claimed that they hired Iraqis to build it. I don't know if I believe that, because I think, you know, they probably could build things a lot better than that. But I just happened to see that. When he said that, I thought that must have been what I saw.
Well, it may well be. I don't know. But, you know, it's another one of those situations where the American contractor probably got $200 million and paid bunch of group $50 million to build it and pocketed the rest. I mean, that's just how it goes over there so far.
I mean, there's so much corruption going on. They have other people that they have slave labor in there from other countries.
Oh, they're bringing a lot of Pakistanis in. They're bringing people in from all over, paying them 50 cents an hour.
Right. It's that much.
Yeah, they've got 8,000 foreigners working on that on the new embassy compound.
Mm-hmm.
8,000 of them.
And, you know, if they were... You know, you can say, well, it doesn't matter what they do to those people, but they're doing it to our own country people, too.
They sure are.
Especially land in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
And, you know, that's what really bothers me about these people. They just don't give a happy about anybody except themselves.
No, it's
a... dollar.
It's a big money game. That's all it is.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to bring that up when I heard him say that, and and I'm with you. I'm on a real Democrat, and I want somebody that's going to fight for us, not be mealy mouthy to the other folks.
Thanks, Juanita.
Okay, bye bye.
Let's head on over to line three here. Where are we going? Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
This is Sarge. How you doing?
Hi, Sarge.
Hey, I wanted to tell you I talked to Senator Johnson's office this morning,
mm-hmm.
and he came through the surgery okay, they said, but as far as any future prognosis, they still aren't able to make any determination.
Yeah, that's his. That's what they're putting out from his office. It'd be probably foolish to say anything else at this point. You know, he's coming along well. His wife said that they have every reason to believe that things are going to be all right with him, and we sure hope so. I hope it doesn't turn into any kind of a political...
Well, I told them when I called them that I wasn't going to ask any political questions. The only thing I wanted to know was how the man was doing.
Yeah.
And that I'll let his family know that we were thinking about him and wish him a speedy recovery.
Yeah, I guess he's a man that's very, very well liked in the Senate, so... I hope this ends up just being having a good ending, you know.
Right, and you forgot to mention how much Laura did for Hurricane Katrina victims.
Well, I mean, she came down there and patted a couple kids on the head, I think.
Yeah, you know, that Hurricane Katrina was a bad thing.
Yeah, Katrina, I remember that, yeah.
I don't remember that storm. Somehow or another,
no.
I got lost. I think I got lost during Katrina during or something. But,
right.
But I also called the South Dakota governor's office and asked them if the governor had issued... here's how I asked the question. I said, I know the governor is... concerned about the welfare of the senator more than anything, and I was just wondering, had he issued a statement concerning the senator and how he hopes for the best? And the lady says, "What do you mean?" I don't think he has.
Well, you know they know one another. I mean, you'd think of nothing else. Hey, that's a very sparsely populated state. For one thing, they know each other, probably know each other pretty well.
I was stationed at Ellsworth.
Oh, yeah.
And I know South Dakota, and believe me, there's no way those people could not know each other.
No, I spent a week in Minot one time,
day. Why not?
I spent a week in one day is what I wanted to say. Yeah.
Why not Minot?
Yeah.
That's in North Dakota, but it's just the only difference between North Dakota and South Dakota is North Dakota has the Peace Gardens, and South Dakota has Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
But this still really scares me because I just don't put it past this governor to go ahead and appoint a Republican just as soon as he can find an excuse to do so.
Well, yeah. I think he's prohibited from doing that until such time as he's actually deemed medically unfit, and that would take some time. So
yeah.
We'll go. Hey, got to run, Sarge. Thanks.
Alrighty.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
We're going to pause right now and get a hold of our guest for the day, Vic Camber, and we'll be back in just a minute or two.
But those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Says that unless there is a substantial increase in the present war effort in Vietnam, the U.S. should look forward to 5 more years of war. In a speech before the Convention of the Veterans of Foreign Wars in New York, Nixon also said opposition to the war in this country is the greatest single weapon working against the U.S. That's the 7 o'clock edition of the news. Good night.
All right, everybody, we're back. Glad to be back. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Appreciate all your emails and messages on the chat rooms and so forth. Lots of folks listening on the chat rooms today. Glad to know that. And all of our good friends over at Democrats.com and Democrat Underground and Smirking Chimp. And you know all the sites that we visit and all the folks that listen there. Thanks for being with us today. Right now, we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to go to our featured guest of the day. We have my favorite political commentator, Vic Camber, is on today. Vic, are you with us?
I am, Guy. Thank you, and thank you for those nice words.
Hey, these newfangled phones actually work. Okay, we got you here.
They really do.
We got Vic on a cell phone today, and it sounds rather well. I'll never forget, well, I had a wild ride with James Carville one time on a cell phone. He was heading out to Dulles. Can you imagine flying out? Do you ever fly out of Dulles?
Very rarely, and not because, it's just, for me, the travel is easier out of National. I still can't call it Reagan, even.
No, it's National, shall remain National. Well, we won't get into that. I don't know how many things they were trying to change the name of. Vic, we wanted to talk to you today about, far off in the distance, but we see the cards are starting to get dealt here in the Democratic Party and with Republicans about candidates coming up for the 08 presidential election. We're a long way off, but then again, we're not. It seems like it's like Christmas gets started. The season gets started earlier every year, and I think it's so it goes with the political season.
Well, it's true, and really, it's not a long way off. You're talking about the first primary being in January of 08, which is like 13 months away. But the actual primary season has sort of begun because the first primary will be the first quarter of 2007. The reporting of who's raised how much money, because that'll be a barometer of what candidates are doing.
Let's take a look at a couple of Republicans, first of all. Who do you think's, in your opinion right now, I think that's harder for me to pick right now than the Democrats. I think John McCain might be hitching his wagon to the wrong horse. What do you think about that?
Well, I think on issues, he is. I mean, certainly on the war in Iraq, he clearly is, but I still think it's his to lose today. There's primarily because of the stature he has, because of the advantage he has going in. He's running a campaign as if he is the nominee. He's making himself the preemptive favorite. While Mitt Romney, Huckabee, several others, Senator Brownback from Kansas, are potentials, I don't see how they get there. I mean, McCain's got the money. Giuliani, of course, has the name recognition and actually beats McCain in the polls, but within the base of the party, he's really not acceptable to that Republican base that votes in the primaries. So I think it's John McCain's to lose.
Even if let's say they take his advice, and I don't know, from all appearances right now, it looks like we are faced with throwing more troops into the cauldron there in Iraq. If we do that, and this thing still ends up being a morass like it is a quicksand, say a year from now, a year and a half from now, you think John McCain still got a chance? Does any Republican have a chance at that point?
I'd like to say it two ways. No, and I hope not, first of all. And secondly, no. I think if we're still in the midst of Iraq and the debacle that we're faced with today, that's still an issue in the way, and I don't see how it really disappears, but if it's still out there a year and a half from now, I don't, and the Republican nominee, whoever that is, McCain or somebody else, is advocating a continued stay the course, or I'm going to change the course, but it's not going to get much better kind of thing. I don't see how a Republican wins. The country wants a change. They want, while there's not unanimity of pull out tomorrow or the date certain, there is no question the country wants a change. And I thought it was totally wrong. I was shocked that John McCain was advocating putting anywhere from 20 to 100,000 more troops into Iraq. But as you say, that may be the direction we're going, because that's the president right now who controls that decision-making process. And while I think that's a wrong answer and a wrong-headed answer, within the base, again, remember, we're talking about primaries here. Who votes, who supports the party, where the first primaries are. It's not independents, it's not Democrats, and there aren't a lot of moderate Republicans. So that strong hawk conservative base is who will nominate, and given a lot of unknown Republicans and John McCain, I think it's his to lose.
Well, and Giuliani, to me, if Giuliani should somehow be a top contender, it would be probably some of the worst hypocrisy that the Republican Party could possibly pull off with some of his views. But I hear he's out saying, hey, I agree with you on the war, agree with you on taxes and this and that and those other issues. Why, never mind. It's kind of what preaching right now.
It's stranger things that happened in politics. Clearly the base of the party is social conservative, fiscal conservative. He's really not. I mean, he is a hawk. He was strong after 9/11. That's really his claim to fame. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, prior to 9/11, I think there's a lot of Democrats that believe he would have been beaten as a candidate for mayor of when he ran for his second term in New York. But he stepped up to the plate. He showed strong leadership, and at a time that his city was sort of in turmoil, and that's what a lot of Americans remember him by. But remember, this man, and again, I'm not one to deal on social issues only, or certainly on personal lives. You know, he was in the midst of a major affair while he was married. He's been, two times divorced, three times married. This doesn't play well with the base of his party, with family values, social values. I just don't see how he gets the nomination. I think he'll have a lot of attention. And again, in name ID today, he leads. I mean, usually he gets about 30%, and John McCain gets about 26% in most of the national polls, and then the rest are split among 10 other people, or I don't know. But I don't know that that number really holds up in a state by state. I don't see him doing retail politics in Iowa and New Hampshire that you have to do to bring out the electorate. And then I don't see how he runs in a number of the other states. And I'm not sure he can even raise the money. Remember, this time around, we're not talking about $10 million or $15 million as if that's chump change. We're talking about $40, $50, $60 million. And I believe McCain can raise that kind of money, and I'm not sure any of the other, maybe Mitt Romney from what I understand, but I'm not sure beyond those two any other Republican can.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think Giuliani plays all that well out through the West and the Midwest. And I still wonder, I've said this 100 times, and my listeners know I've said it, on September the 10th, 2001, Rudy Giuliani's name was Mud. I mean, it truly was, and maybe I'm not being fair, but but I still don't see and have not seen why America considered him a hero when he did what a mayor ought to do in those circumstances. I've never personally understood that, but I guess.
Okay, guys, let me just say, greatness comes when there are crises. And, I mean, many of America's heroes over history, Democrat, Republican, Independent, have become America's heroes because of the crisis of the moment that thrust them into that leadership role. I agree with you. I think that I don't want to minimize it. I think there's a number of Americans that would have stepped up to the plate and been truly outstanding at that period of time. But he happened to be there. No different, let's be honest, than George Bush, who for 11 months was sinking in the polls, and, the 9/11 and the country rallied behind the president to show support. I think they've woken up since then, but the fact is we as a country do rally around our leaders in times of crisis, and that was a time of crisis, and he happened to be the leader.
Well, I think you're right. Let's look at the Democratic side. Is it Hillary's to lose, do you think?
Yes, I do. While I believe we're blessed, and I really mean this now, I'm a Democrat and very partisan, but I really do believe we're blessed with a number of very talented candidates. We have a very strong bench, so to speak. But I still think that Hillary today, it's hers to lose. She
the money?
The money is one. The fact that she's a she in a primary, the fact that she's strong, she's bright, she's solid. All she's worked hard to build up that that lead. And while we know that she's got strong negatives, and we know the biggest rap on her is she can't win. That's what people say. And then when you ask those same people anecdotally, so you're not going to vote for her? They say, oh, no, I'm going to vote for her, but I just don't believe she can win. My belief is that if you look at John Kerry and you look at Al Gore, Hillary Clinton will carry every single state that they both carry. Some states, she may not get as many votes. Take California. She may get 300,000 less votes in California than Al Gore got, but she's going to win it by a million votes still.
Well, tell me something. Go ahead.
No, on top of those states, I believe she plays well in New Mexico. I believe she plays well in Arkansas, Iowa, Wisconsin, with the new governor of Ohio, and possibly Florida. So I think that the rap she can't win can be discounted, and I think I do think it's hers to lose today.
Well, that's not what I hear the most. And you're in the Beltway. You know what goes on far better than I do inside the Beltway. And you've been in this game for a long time. But let me tell you what I hear about Hillary Clinton all the time. And it's the biggest, by far and away, 100-1, the comment that I hear is that Hillary's taken the middle of the road position, and she has not really done much to separate herself from Bush on this war, and she voted for it, and she's not sorry she voted for it and has not said so. That's what I hear all the time, is Hillary's, she hasn't said anything that we never should have gone in. She stuck to it.
Well, there's no question that on the left of the party, and I don't mean far left, but in the Democratic Party, thank God, is a big umbrella. But the left is not happy with that she has not been a bigger leader or a leader on the anti-war effort. I believe she has, in fact, changed her position and has been critical of the where we are. She clearly, she can't take back her vote. She did vote for the war, and as she says, she voted for the war based upon the information she had at that point in time. And I'm not an apologist for her. I mean, she's a big lady. She knows her own mind. But she clearly has said that she is not in favor of our present policies and would bring a change about. She will have opposition, and you're going to have to find, people are going to have to find a way to differentiate, and there will be those on the left of the party that will differentiate and call her a centrist or too far to the right. There'll be people on the right. There'll be people on the right of her that will say she's too much of a lefty. So, the beauty she has, and this is that she frankly is in the center, which positions her for election in the general election. If she became the far left candidate, I'm not sure she could win the general election.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I would say the great majority of our listeners are in the middle of the left, but I just hear that one all the time. We may have a question for you here. Let me see. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
I'm a lefty.
Okay.
I'm a liberal. I'm proud of it.
I know you are. Hi, have you got a question for Vic?
It's Dave, and yes, it troubles me so much to hear intelligent, knowledgeable people talking about elections in the United States as though they are totally up and up, not to consider the fact that the Republicans had crooked voting machines designed that could be accessed by a modem. I believe even though we won this last election, we lost about 60 seats to these cheating machines. How do you weigh that into your...
Well, Dave, you have a question about one of the candidates?
What I'm wanting to know is if he is aware that the election itself is not...
I'm sure...
I love Dennis Kucinich, and they say he's on...
Whoops.
Guy?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no question that we're a democracy, we're a republic, and in this democracy we have crooks, we have fraud. I'm sorry to say, probably to some extent, even on both sides. I grew up in Chicago when the joke used to be that six people voted and four were dead, and they didn't vote Republican, I assure you. But I understand your listener's call, his frustration, and I agree. I don't know that it would be 60 seats, but there's no doubt that there. Florida is a prime example, the one seat that we do know of where 18,000 voters were disenfranchised by voting in that area where their votes didn't appear and that they voted for everything else. I don't know how we deal with it. I mean, this is worth talking about phones earlier, where the technology comes into play. Clearly, there's something to be said about the electronic voting and the speed with which we get results and the ease. There's something else to be said about the lack of security and paper ballots. And it's something that we have to continue to look at and deal with as we go forward.
Well, just on that point, I'll quickly ask you, have you ever heard of a higher percentage of no votes than took place up there in Sarasota in that race in Florida? 18,000.
No, never.
I can't say that I have either. No. Back to the candidates. We've got a long list, and like you said, some very distinguished people. Very distinguished people. It looks as though maybe Wes Clark might give it a go again. For sure looks like Evan Bay is looking around trying to decide what to do. Dennis Kucinich has announced a terrific guy. Bill Richardson. Do you think there's a chance of Bill Richardson being a real dark horse here?
Yes. I think, there's somebody who has an outstanding resume. Plus, he's a good campaigner. And he's a threefer. He's a Hispanic with the name Richardson, which doesn't sound it, but in this day and age, they're Latino, Hispanic, which again would play phenomenally well in the general election. But here's a, you know, ambassador, congressman, ambassador, cabinet level, a member, a governor. So he's seen every level of power, and every kind of power, in government, and I think would make a terrific candidate, or will make a terrific candidate, and could be a sleeper. Again, it comes back to the Hillary factor. Someone, whoever beats her, if she's to lose, let's say in Iowa, automatically becomes a giant killer. And then the question is, does that person go from there forward, or is it a free-for-all and a wide open? And with this, with the primaries having closed up, we're probably going to know the nominee by early March, over a 6-week period, 8-week at the most, because they're so close together, which doesn't give a lot of candidates a chance to emerge over a long period of time. So whoever really comes out of Iowa, New Hampshire, early, is going to be the one that probably goes on. And if it's Hillary, then it's hard for me to see how she stops. If it's someone else, then it's who that someone else is. That's why John Edwards, for example, is virtually putting all his marbles in the first two states, Nevada and Iowa. That's why, Evan Bay is spending enormous time virtually living in Iowa. Now, people like Bill Richardson haven't spent the time yet, like made forays into the state, but it's more like a one-time speech at a major place. Iowa and New Hampshire are retail states. People are going to have to go in and really campaign. The exceptions may be, and I don't even know if there'll be exceptions, but a Barack Obama, a Hillary, who are such rock stars that maybe they can still work their magic without that retail. But I've seen too many rock stars fail in the sense in those states, because those voters want you to be in their living room 2 or 3 times before they make up their mind.
Well, I heard somebody yesterday talking about New Hampshire, and somebody said that they hadn't made up their mind because they'd only met the candidates 6 times. I think I was a little like that, too. Al Gore, what do you say?
Well, I mean, the former president should have been president. I think there is still something about him that people care about. I think that, frankly, my own gut tells me that he would love to be president, would be a great president, but doesn't have the fire in the belly to go through the process. If the party were to turn to him and say, "Mr. Gore, Mr. Vice President, we want you to lead our party," I think he'd take it in a minute. No one's going to hand the nomination to anybody. This is going to be a fought-after nomination, and I'm just not sure I believe Al Gore wants to fight.
I want to ask you one more question. You know all about this, and I want you, if you can, we don't get Hillary on this program. Tell us in 2 minutes or less what it's like. You mentioned the grind. What is it like out there on the stump running for president?
I mean, the thought of having to get up every morning with a smile on your face, knowing the issues, knowing what's in the papers that day, knowing how to answer all the trick questions that people are going to have for you between the press and your own supporters and your opponents out there, knowing you got to, you know, you take exercises with those hand machines, knowing how many hands you have to shake, knowing how many phone calls you have to make to raise money every day of the week, you probably have to, you know, raise $50,000 to $100,000, and these are in clips of $1,000 and $2,000. You're not able to get large checks for running for president. Knowing that you have to, you know, live out of a suitcase, and in places like Iowa, New Hampshire, live in people's homes. I mean, it's just... And think intelligently and answer questions intelligently. While there's an excitement level to it, there is something about it that says, and you're living in a fishbowl. You burp the wrong way. You pick your nose at the wrong moment. To put your finger in your mouth to pick some food out of your teeth, and that's the camera that caught you on the air, and that's what's shown on television that night. Knowing that you have to live that way is not the most pleasant experience, yet the prize of leading this country for these people is worth it.
You can't go out and have a Howard Dean moment.
And you can't go out and have a Mickey D's either.
That's right. Vic, I thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure to you. And listen, a happy holiday to you and your listeners.
Hey, thanks so much. Vic Camber, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
I should have asked him if he's going to be involved. I have an inkling, that Vic might just be involved in one of the candidates soon. And if he does get involved, I'll let you know. And I'm sure he'll let you know as well. But he doesn't play any favorites right now. And really, from what I know, you would not be able to tell from what he was just saying which candidate he might be able to hitch his wagon to. But I think he may do that soon. So we'll be on the lookout for that. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour here at the Guy James Show. And you can reach us at 866-546-5254. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Welcome to our show. We're happy that you're here to hear us sing a song about this crazy year. There was violence in Iraq, trouble in Afghanistan, and Brangelina had a kid and started their own clan. Osama hides, Britney rides, Saddam lost his case. Remember when Dick Cheney shot that one guy?
Did you hear this past year? Romney got the case.
Oh, yes. Here we are, back with the Guy James Show. About 5 minutes until the top of the hour. Hope you're having a good day. I always enjoy talking to Vic Camber. Heck of a guy. Honest guy. One of these politicos that you can talk to and get straight answers from. He never snows you. I enjoy snow. Well, boy, that takes on a new meaning lately, doesn't it? Getting snowed. that's a term people my age use for when you're getting the wool pulled over your eyes. But a snow job. But man, that takes on a whole new significance now with Mr. Tony in the White House, doesn't it? Man, I got to tell you. And he's amazing. He is amazing. Just can spin the crap faster and shovel it faster than anybody I think I've seen. And I don't think that makes him better. I think that makes him more contemptible in my eyes. I try and watch some of those press conferences so I can get an inkling of what these clowns are spinning. And I have to tell you, it makes me ashamed. It makes me ashamed that the President of the United States would send a spokesman out like Tony Snow. I'm disgusted by the performances of Tony Snow. Everybody said, oh, he's such a nice guy and all that. I never thought he was. I thought he was a right-wing radical, and he proves it every day he goes out there for the press conferences. Every day. He doesn't give a straight answer ever. When asked about the strategy report, or the study group report last week, well, you know, he it was pure bullshit, his answers were. He knew that was going to go in the wastebasket. He hasn't given a straight answer about the speech being put off until January. Well, he just wants to make up his mind. He wants to make sure. What the hell? Make up his mind, wants to make sure that his changes in Iraq are right. You know, the question I would like to ask Tony Snow that nobody, maybe David Gregory has, and I haven't heard it, what makes you think that we, the people of the United States, have any confidence in anything Junior Bush would do in Iraq? What would make him think that we would believe a damn thing he says? Oh, yes, you'll get that 21% that think he's doing a good job in Iraq, but you take the other 79% that don't think he's doing a good job in Iraq. What makes him think when he comes out and says anything that we'd believe anything? Given the record that he has of prevarications and outright lies, why would the White House put him up on a little stage, and now soon to have that banner behind him that says a new way forward? What are they thinking? What is Karl Rove thinking? Is Karl Rove thinking, well, hell, we've got to put him out there. He's the president. I know he's screwing things up, but he's the president. I'd like to send him a big bag of pretzels, those big, stale, big, thick ones. As a gift, of course. But it never fails to amaze me when I see Tony Snow. I am just blown away by him. His each and every performance is he could be the toastmaster at the Liars Club of America. He could be right there because he's the head spinner. He's the best I ever saw. At lying up there on the stage and smiling to go along with it and insulting people with a smile on his face. The reason, the way he insulted David Gregory recently. He insulted Helen by saying, oh, now we've got the Hezbollah side of it. Yeah. Well, hey, we're going to pause for the news. Coming up right now in just a few seconds, so we will be back. Don't go away.
Network. South Dakota Democratic Senator Tim Johnson now listed in critical condition in a Washington, D.C. hospital after undergoing successful brain surgery overnight to stop some intracranial bleeding. Senator became ill yesterday while conducting a phone radio interview. Doctors have not yet talked about his prognosis, though his surgeon does say the senator is recovering without complication. But should he not be able to return to the Senate, the Republican governor of South Dakota would likely appoint a Republican to replace him. That would change the configuration in the Senate from 51-49 to 50-50. And with a Republican vice president to break any ties, control of the Senate and its committees would remain in GOP hands. Violence in Gaza after Israel refused to allow Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas back into Gaza after a two-week trip abroad to raise money for the Palestinian government. That action by Israel prompted several Hamas gunmen to storm the border terminal. There was a gunfight between them and border guards, but no one was killed. Israel has not explained why Haniyeh was denied entry, but says that because of the resulting violence, Gaza's border with Egypt is now closed. In Baghdad, a mass kidnapping in central Baghdad today when dozens of gunmen in military uniforms rounded up as many as 70 shop owners, street vendors, and bystanders and drove them away in SUVs. The area contained stores owned by both Sunnis and Shiites. Having now wrapped up his three-day listening tour, the president is weighing his options for a new Iraq policy, but says U.S. troops will not come home until the job is done. He met with the joint military chiefs yesterday, who reportedly recommended that the U.S. change its primary mission in Iraq from one of fighting insurgents to one of supporting Iraqi troops and hunting terrorists. Senator John McCain, now in Baghdad, is again saying he believes that the U.S. should deploy an additional 15,000 to 30,000 troops to help control sectarian violence there. A new Washington Post ABC News poll shows President Bush's approval rating now at 36%, while the number of Americans who disapprove of his handling of the situation in Iraq has risen to 70%. And Al Jazeera reports that a survey by the Iraq Center for Research and Strategic Studies has found that 90% of Iraqis believe their country is worse off now than before the war. 95% think that security in Iraq has deteriorated since the arrival of U.S. forces. Another suicide bombing in Afghanistan's Kandahar province has killed four civilians and wounded more than two dozen people. South Korea's Ban Ki-moon was sworn in today as the new Secretary General of the United Nations, succeeding Kofi Annan, though he won't take office until January 1st. And AAA estimating that more than 65 million Americans will be traveling over the Christmas holiday period. That's up in 1.5 million from last year. This is Q&A.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
An AIDS advocacy group is calling on the makers of Viagra to stop their marketing campaign promoting the drug's recreational use, saying it increases the risk of transmitting HIV or other STDs. OPEC ministers have agreed to hold oil production unchanged for now, but say they'll likely cut back 500,000 barrels a day in February, depending upon market conditions. For the second consecutive week, new unemployment claims were lower. They fell by 20,000 last week, following a drop of 34,000 a week before. Qantas has agreed to an $8.6 billion buyout by a private equity consortium. Walmart's recalling 56,000 toy Christmas beagles because small parts could cause choking in small children. The $3 stuffed animals have been sold in Walmart nationwide since September. Nestle, the world's largest food and drink company, has announced it's buying the medical nutrition unit of pharmaceutical company Novartis for $2.5 billion. The deal includes a number of nutritional supplements and dieting products, but does not include Gerber Baby Foods, which is also owned by Novartis. Lightsweet crude this hour is trading up 93 cents a barrel, inching towards $63 a barrel. Right now it's $62.30. On Wall Street, all the markets are higher. They've been higher all morning. The Dow is up 75 points at 12,392. NASDAQ is up 24 points at 2,456. And the S&P 500 is up 11 points at 1,424. There is always more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter, and the time now is 5 minutes past the hour.
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life.
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Whoa, I was having a moment there getting a big echo in my headphones. Don't know what that was about, but let me check here. I guess it's okay now. Yeah, thought I was going crazy. I'm at that age when you hear something or feel something. You know what I mean. Hey, thanks for being with us here on the Guy James Show today. Always appreciate having everybody with us and here on the Head On Radio Network as well. I urge you to, if you haven't before, to try out all of the shows here on the Head On Radio Network. Cup of Joe, Bruce Birch, Bob Kincaid, Dr. Bill, and Ewell from Mark. Don't forget Mark Levine's show. You will enjoy them all, I guarantee you. I think we have the most informed people that you can find on any radio network. There is another network. I don't think those people are as well informed as the people here in the Hit On Radio Network. But that's just my opinion. I'm sure there's some over there that wouldn't appreciate my opinion. But that's it anyway. How many of you have heard him? I heard Limbaugh the other day. I have this curse that people send me audio of some of these other shows like Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and all that. Talking about this deal of if we pull out now, all the deaths will be in vain. You know, whenever I hear these radical warmongering idiots like Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and, you know, the entire Fox network say that we need to ensure the troops who've already died did not do so in vain, I just want to scream. Have you ever thought about that comment? It's saying that's kind of like saying death is only valid if it's followed by more death. It's kind of sick logic, don't you think? Of course, they're used to using sick logic. And I was peering through some of the news that you don't often see on the front page, and I came across this interesting little tidbit. The Bush administration asked an appeals court Wednesday to overrule a federal judge and allow the White House to keep secret any records of visitors to Vice President Dick Cheney's residence and office. Now, am I wrong here, or don't we have access to the Secret Service's records of who visits the White House? That is where Bush lives, and that is his office. And I know the Secret Service keeps detailed records, And we know that because of that male prostitute, Jeffy Gannon, that was going in and out in... Well, I shouldn't say it that way now, should I? that was really a faux pas, honestly. But he was entering and leaving. He was entering and leaving the... Oh, maybe no one caught that. Maybe it was just me. Well, anyway, he was entering and leaving the White House, and I'm so careful how I say that. And they have a complete record of how many times he was there. They have a complete record of how many times everybody goes to the White House. And now they want us to not know who visits Dick Cheney as his residence and office. I don't think so. I wonder if the administration will get this appeals court to overrule that federal judge. I will be on the lookout for that. I truly will. That interests me. And Cheney, you know, Cheney right now is an interesting figure, I think. He doesn't want to be tarred and feathered with the Iraq War. He's been publicly silent and mostly out of sight ever since the Iraq Study Group came out. I'm sure you've noticed. And according to U.S. News and World Report, a former Cheney advisor explained, and let me quote this, "I think we'll see less of him than ever. Iraq is now Bush's baby, and Cheney doesn't want to be tarred with it in the eyes of historian." End quote. You know, regardless of the actions that Cheney takes in the future, history's not going to forget that he's been at the very center of this administration's most egregious attempts to sell this war. He was the one out there claiming on and on that 9/11 was, that Saddam was complicit without coming out and saying... I mean, it was Cheney that was always doing the dirty work, and he thinks he's going to get off with not being stuck with this being hung around his neck? I don't think so. You know, he's the one who said, we believe, in fact, that... Saddam Hussein has reconstituted nuclear weapons, and he kept saying, I think they're in the last throes, if you will, of the insurgency. But there are other sources that say Cheney's working hard behind the scenes to convince Bush not to withdraw troops anytime soon. And once he convinces Bush, Cheney will go public and sell the president's decision around the country. They'll send him out to do the dirty work of why we're sending a bunch more troops in there again. I tell you. Did you see Bush's press conference yesterday? Had a chance to see a replay of it today. I was shocked. I really was. Have you taken a good look at this guy lately? The bluster's still there. But he looks like a blustering deer in the headlights. He's got no idea what to do or what to say. He really looks like a scared, desperate man. I think it would be mercy if he were impeached. Let him go back and roam free on his Texas ranch where he can't harm anybody else. I think that'd be a good thing. You know, you watch him and you think, who's minding the store right now? What would the answer be if you asked that question? Who's minding the store right now? Anyone? Are we on autopilot? Airplane spinning out of control? We're going to crash? Who's running the show? Apparently it's not Bush. And he made a remarkable statement earlier that I nearly fell over when I heard this at the Pentagon. And let me quote this exactly. I wrote this down exactly from President Junior Bush here. Quote, "I think these men who wear our uniforms for a very candid and fruitful discussion..." I thank these men. Let me start over again. He was standing there with all the generals, you know, after he'd had this big powwow with them. And he says, I thank these men who wear our uniforms for a very candid and fruitful discussion about how to secure this country and how to win a war... And here's the remarkable part, how to win a war that we now find ourselves in. That we now find ourselves in. What the hell? Did he just wake up the other day and said, damn, we're in a war? I found myself in a war. We've found ourselves in this war. We've found ourselves in this war. I'm incredulous. I'm incredulous. This war we now find ourselves in. Man. I don't think I'll watch any more of his press conferences. I can't stand him. They're going to kill me someday. And one thing that's really troubling me, and by the way, give us a call, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. We're hearing more and more Republicans, and this is really disturbing to me, Republicans and Democrat politicians say that they cannot vote against the new supplemental appropriations bill for the war. It's going to be around $100 billion. They all say the same thing. We can't leave our troops over there without properly funding the war. Well, duh. You know, that's the idea, stupid. The idea is to cut off the funding so Bush can no longer sacrifice the lives of our American military personnel. And Iraqis, too. The idea is to put an end to this national nightmare Bush is choosing. They all act like there isn't enough money in the pipeline already to bring them home. First of all, there is enough money to bring them safely home. And secondly, do the lying bastards think we would just leave them there? Just call them and say, sorry, kids, you'll have to find your way home. And by the way, please bring a Humvee or a tank with you when you find your way home. What a bunch of liars. And that goes for the Democrats and the Republicans. I saw a Democrat senator on this morning. I'll let them all remain nameless for now, but I'm going to start naming them. I don't want to see them voting for this new appropriations bill. We have enough money to bring those kids home in the next 6 months or so. Let's do it. Oh, getting my blood pressure medicine out. Let's go to the phones. Hi, I think Bruce is on the line.
I am indeed. How you doing, guys?
Hi, Bruce. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, no, I'm not. I couldn't believe what you just said. He did a press conference that said that the war we find ourselves in.
Yes. Yes. Let me get the exact quote here. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, I thank these men who wear our uniforms. This is after that meeting with the generals for a very candid and fruitful discussion and how to secure this country and how to win the war that we now find ourselves in. Damn, who knew?
You know, what was it before?
Maybe he just I don't know. Maybe he just found out about it. Maybe Cheney just told him about it. I don't know.
That's right. Well, you know, they keep him doped up on everything they can find to keep him, because he's always, every time he goes anywhere and he rides a bike, he always crashes it and wrecks into service. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, he's a figurehead, you know.
How have you been, Bruce?
I've been doing well, man. I've been doing well. You know, I had to take a bit of a break because I was starting a new job this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was an okay job, paid pretty good. It was non-union, and but here in North Carolina, you know, finding a union job is not an easy thing to do. But I was there, and I was at the job site there, and was talking to one of the helpers about unions. And about 20 minutes later, the job foreman comes over to me and says,
"Oh,
by the way, you're really not meeting our performance standard, and we're going to have to let you go."
Oh. man.
And I said, you know, I got to put one and one together here and come up with three, of course. But, you know, I'd say it was pretty positive that the union talk had something to do with it. It's a damn shame in this country, Guy, that, you know, there was a time when a guy could go out and get a decent job and you know, join a union and have a pension and have health benefits and have a lot of things that, you know, people need to have to raise a family and to put them through college. And it's just not that way anymore. We got people out there who are working like for Walmart, making $8 an hour and trying to raise a family. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, Bruce, we used to have people that ran companies that cared that you had a good job and you had a good pension and that your wife and kids and home and everything was secure because that made them look good. Nowadays, nah. You mentioned the union, and 20 minutes later, oh.
You know, and it was actually, I even asked the guy, I said, is this because I was talking to so-and-so about you know, the IBEW? And he goes, oh, yeah, well, you know, no, we don't have anything to do with those people because, you know, they make it unprofitable to run a business, and, you know, is this a standard line? It was a standard line. I said, dude, you're a working man, too. You're not the owner of the company.
Yeah.
You know?
Ah, jeez, I hate to hear this. I really do. I mean, that's just being blatant about it, really.
Yeah.
I've been in that situation many, many years ago when a union was trying to get into a place where I worked, and I supported the union and got called on the carpet. They said they were going to fire us all and everything, and the National Labor Relations Board got involved, and they did not fire us, but we were on a slippery slope ever after that.
You know, it just makes me want to go on a one-man crusade to unionize every electrical contractor in the state of North Carolina, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are the jobs with electrical contractors still? Well, obviously they don't pay that great anymore.
Well, as far as you know, a good electrician, top dollar is about $18 to $22 an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know you're looking at an average journeyman probably making $14 to $15, which really, you know, unless you're licensed or have a tremendous amount of experience, chances are, you know, you're going to be making in the $16 to $17 an hour range, and you know, if you're trying, you can't support a family of four on that.
Well, you know, Bruce, I'm originally from Ohio, and I can tell you that 15 years ago, a good electrician was making $30 an hour.
Yeah, there you go.
But they were union.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Florida, we're faced with the same thing that I know North Carolina's been hit with a little bit. There's an influx of labor, and the wages have been driven down, and probably sooner or later electricians now. Here it's mostly framers and drywallers and people that pour concrete and so forth. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to keep plugging away. I've already had two job offers today.
Oh.
So I mean, I'm a licensed electrical contractor and all as well, you know, state licensed. So I don't think I'm going to have a problem. What I can, you know, what I'm more concerned about is, you know, the guy out there who doesn't have the qualifications I do, and it really is troublesome because I know that there's a lot of good men out there who are working and women who are working hard to, you know, to help make other people money, and they just don't. It really gets under my skin, guy, that they don't see the value of, you know, asking the employer to forgo buying one more yacht this year.
Yeah.
I don't get it. The
top brass making, what is it, 435 times as much as as the work. It's shameful. I mean, it really is shameful.
Well, I totally agree. But Guy, I wanted to call in and just tell you how much I appreciate your program and you know that you're doing a wonderful job.
Well, if you got a minute, Bruce, I got to tell everybody here. I got to be honest. I knew Bruce was pretty handy with electrical things and so forth. And Bruce and I spent some time together in Washington. I don't know when it was. A few months
June?
Back.
Yeah.
We did our shows from that Take Back America conference,
mm-hmm.
and we got a chance to meet and greet. You know, glad hand a lot of the big shots and all that there. And I go to set up my stuff. I've got my mixer and all this stuff, and I'm going to go set it up. And I got to tell you, if Bruce hadn't been there, I'd have been screwed. it's just that simple. I'll be going back to Washington again for the State of the Union deal in January.
And are
so,
you okay?
This time, I hope to be able to hook it up. I think I got it figured this time, Bruce.
Well, I'm going to be up there that weekend. Is that the same weekend that they're doing the big anti-war rally?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but it's.
Well,
it's
I'm planning on going up there for the anti-war rally, and going to you know do what I can to try to make you know, get a broadcast live out of there from that you know that day.
Oh, okay. Well, so. maybe we'll get together while we're there. It's I'm going to be there the 23rd, 24th, and
25th and come back on the 26th, I think it is.
Okay.
So.
I think that's, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, stay in touch.
I certainly will, Guy. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Take care, Bruce.
Okay.
My word. What a story. Damn, that's upsetting. That really is upsetting. Well, disgusting, really. I did have a problem with that quite a few years ago, many years ago. I don't know, what had been 25 years ago or something like that, maybe longer. Threatened and actually got fired on account of union activity that was trying to get in, and Labor Relations Board stepped in and put a stop to it, which was a good thing. Hey, we're going to pause for a quick break. We'll be right back.
The grieving mother pitched her tent on Prairie Chapel Road, with questions for the president on Prairie Chapel Road. A band of pilgrims came along to Prairie Chapel Road, raised their voices, sang their songs on Prairie Chapel Road. Now you can mow down the crosses, but you can't mow down our hope, because the truth will always greet the light of day. And we know what the cost is in this darkness where we grope, but we know that peace will be the better way on Prairie Chapel Road. Around the nation, all eyes turn to Prairie Chapel Road, to mark the lessons we had learned on Prairie Chapel Road. A people who had found their voice on Prairie Chapel Road, and the millions more who joined their choice on Prairie Chapel Road. Now you can mow down the crosses, but you can't mow down our hope, because the truth will always greet the light of day. And we know what the cost is in this darkness where we grope, but we know that peace will be the better way on Prairie Chapel Road. Now in every city and small town there's a Prairie Chapel Road, where two sides of the road are found on Prairie Chapel Road. And we may always disagree on Prairie Chapel Road, but the right to do that keeps us free on Prairie Chapel Road. Now you can mow down the crosses, but you can't mow down our hope, because the truth will always greet the light of day. And we know what the cost is in this darkness where we grope, but we know that peace will be the better way on Prairie Chapel Road. The grieving mother pitched her tent on Prairie Chapel Road, with questions for the president on Prairie Chapel
Road. Sovereignty means in the 21st century.
And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereignty. It's, you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
What are you, on dope?
We think so, too. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
And we're back. We got 30 minutes left in the program, and we expect you to call and be a part of this program for the next 30 minutes. We hope you do. It's painless, really. We make it completely painless for you. It doesn't hurt at all. We have many people called and suffered no ill effects whatsoever. Really. 866-546-5254. And yes, to answer the folks on the chat room, we were in Crawford, Texas when Cindy Sheehan started her old thing down there at Crawford. Out on Prairie Chapel Road is the road that leads out to Bush's ranch. And it was quite a sight. And spent a good amount of time at the Peace House there right in Crawford. What an experience that was. What a great group of people. Food and water and flashlights and everything came in from all over the country. I was met by a group of Guy James Show listeners in Dallas-Fort Worth. Went out to dinner that night, and I had a rental car. And when we left the restaurant, they said, hey, open up your trunk. And I opened up the trunk of the car, and they just filled it up with water and batteries and flashlights and I don't know what all sorts of things that were needed because of the throngs of people that were coming out to Crawford, to the Peace House. And man, they had a guy back in the kitchen, the guy that runs the Peace House there. He was cooking a big batch of soup, almost like a commercial kitchen, big 5-gallon container. It was great. It really was. It was really, really nice. And, it was well worth it and very worthwhile, and I learned a lot on that trip. I must say I did. I've been to Texas many, many times, but I've never been to Crawford, and I don't ever plan to go to Crawford again. I would never want to go to Crawford again, and I hope nothing ever comes up where I have to go to Crawford again, because that's a hellhole. That's all I can say for it. I'm sure there are some nice people there. There've got to be some nice people there, but I didn't meet them. I can tell you that. The natives I'm talking about. Gee, everybody at the Peace House that day, and gosh, we set up shuttles where people. You see, Crawford. Actually, I don't know. It must be about 8 miles out to Bush's ranch. You go through the crossroads there in Texas, in Crawford, and you go down by this little church and hang a right, and you go out this Prairie Chapel Road, and it must be about 8 miles out to his ranch, and you couldn't actually get to the ranch because the Secret Service had the road blocked off where you couldn't go any farther. You could go down it if you lived there, but anybody else couldn't go down that road. So I don't know, maybe it was maybe a mile and a half on back toward town is where Cindy Sheehan and all the folks had gathered there, put up the crosses and stayed out there. A lot of people. Well, there were cars parked everywhere. But I was never very impressed with Crawford, Texas. It looks like one of those little towns that the sagebrush could blow through, and I guess there's nothing wrong with that. It's basically a dead town. I mean, it looks like a dead little town. One little restaurant on the corner that's doing all right, and a souvenir shop across the corner that's doing very well, I would say. Big grain elevator with a huge sign on the top that says, this is Bush country. That let me in for it right there. What do you do if you're in a place like Crawford, Texas? Are you proud that this man is the President of the United States? Do you want to advertise and promote the fact that this man is the President of the United States? I should think by now that the good people of Crawford, Texas would close that souvenir stand and take that big sign down off the elevator and just quietly slither back into their holes and let everybody forget this clown is from Crawford, Texas. Ah, he's not from Crawford, Texas. really. I mean, let's be fair here. I can't, and I won't tar and feather the whole community, but I had some interesting experiences there. I really did. They had a blood drive. I don't know, maybe some of you heard this story. They had a blood drive that day, and I went down to the blood drive, and a guy welcomed me and everything. I give blood, and I had my card with me and all. And got to talking to the guy while I was filling out the form, and he said, "Are you with those people?" And I knew what he meant. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Are you with those people over there, those protesters and stuff?" I said, "Well, I came to cover the story, came to broadcast my show from here." And he looked at me and he says, "We don't want your Yankee blood." Okay. And walked away, shaking my head. An odd place. Very, very, very odd place. So that song about Chapel Road, I guess you didn't plan on getting that much talk from me out of it, but there you go. I ran across something that completely shocked me. Maybe a lot of you knew this, but I did not. And it's one of those things you can only put down under the "Are you kidding me?" column. Just a week after Bush's mission accomplished speech, and you all remember that, on the deck of the USS Lincoln, him coming down in his little pilot suit and that whole deal. Didn't even know how to unhook the harness. But 1 week after his mission accomplished speech, Major General Paul Eaton was ordered to rush to Baghdad, where he was to command an organization to rebuild the Iraqi military. He later says, "I would have expected this to have been done before our troops hit the ground from the very start. That was my first reaction. We're kind of late on this." Pentagon officials tell General Eaton that that this is their fifth priority. Imagine this. He's sent over there to command an organization to rebuild the Iraqi military, and now we find out that the Pentagon officials tell the guy that they sent that this is their fifth priority, behind building border fences, behind building up the civil defense forces, the Iraqi police force, training guards for government buildings, power plants, and oil lines. It was behind all of that. Imagine that. And he was decrying the shoddy equipment he was given, and a revolving door of individual talent that would disappear anywhere from, 2 to 3 months, and they're gone. General Eaton said that he never received even half of the 250 men that he was promised. Maybe half. Unbelievable. This happened clear back on May the 9th, 2003. May the 9th, 2003, and we didn't hear a word about it until February of this year. Why? Oh, who knows? Amazing story. And also, we know that Iraqis are facing severe unemployment in their country. It ranges anywhere from 25% to 40%, and it's as high as 70% in some of the parts of the country. The violence has been the big reason why it's so high. People can't go to work. Amazing. Can't go to work for fear that they'll be killed. Still thinking about that Laura Bush thing this morning. I have to tell you, I was flabbergasted by that. Well, it's the media, you know. It's the media. Always the media. This whole thing has turned into a real tragedy in Iraq, and I was thinking about the tragedy of it. The tragedy of it is so very obvious and perfectly simple. But I just realized that I never actually have expressed it in so many words. The tragedy of Iraq is that the civilians who've been in charge of the war so far, your Bush, your Cheney, your Rumsfeld, they've adamantly refused to admit to anyone, probably even to themselves, that there's any real possibility that it may simply not be possible anymore to achieve the victory that they wanted. That no matter what we do, we may not be able to bring about an Iraq that can sustain itself, govern itself, and defend itself, or be any kind of an ally in Bush's war on terror, or be a shining example of democracy for the entire Middle East. It probably never was possible. They just don't. Well, they refuse to admit it. They refuse to admit it. They've refused to admit it at every point in this long saga of this horribly mistaken war. Let's be perfectly clear here. I'm not talking about probabilities, which would take us into the realm of opinion. I'm talking about recognizing it as one possibility, regardless of the probability that you think should be attached to it. Which, to my mind, keeps it firmly in the realm of facts. So the issue isn't how probable that we think it is that we should be able to achieve a victory, or how probable we think that victory may be impossible to achieve. The issue is that the cumulative weight of our experience in Iraq certainly suggests at this point, and arguably has suggested for a considerable period of time, that it might be impossible to succeed. And to refuse and to continue to refuse to admit and acknowledge that as even a possibility is just simply irrational. But then we're dealing with irrational people in Iraq. And we're dealing with irrational people in Washington, D.C. The civilians who've been in charge of the war so far, and again, you're talking your Bush, your Rumsfeld, your Cheney, and their powerful propaganda machine that they have has worked really hard to propagate the mindset that to even acknowledge this as a possibility is somehow cowardly and defeatist and traitorously treasonous at worst. And they've said it. They've demanded that no one in the upper and the middle levels of any meaningful decision-making concerning Iraq have anything to do with this possibility of losing. That includes the generals on the ground who are actually running war. Now, it's okay to be optimistic, but at least you have to be mindful that you could be wrong and things could go wrong. And so, as a result of all this, we've got an Iraq policy that's been founded on, what else can you call it, but irrationality, and has been doomed to fail from the very beginning. And if you refuse to admit that failure is even a possibility, you cannot, by definition, take steps to avoid the prospect of that failure. Am I making any sense? You know, sooner or later, the failure becomes the elephant in the room, that no one's allowed to talk about it. It becomes the elephant in the room that no one's allowed to dodge or fight or even sidestep. And the game, of course, ends when the elephant's trampled everybody in the room, every last mover and shaker who's supposed to be in charge. You know, to steal some of Bush's rhetoric, and God knows he has more than enough to spare, there are some who think that we're perilously close to that endpoint already. And the movers and shakers are still determined to ignore the elephant. And they are ignoring the elephant. And that's the tragedy of Iraq in a nutshell. I mean, you can see Bush has his fingers in his ear going, la, 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 I don't hear you. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with all this. I guess none of us do at this point. Somebody asked for a little Christmas music? Okay, we'll do it, and we'll be back in a minute.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Like my presidents, I wanna make more money than I can spend. I wanna build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to come on, you black and Hispanic boys, we'll keep you poor so you got no choice but to join the army in your prime and fight for Uncle Sam and die. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Welcome to the new American century.
Welcome to the new American century.
Well, now, we've got phone lines open, and you can call and use one of them. 866-546-5254. It won't cost you a dime. Cost me a dime, but it won't cost you a dime. Give us a call. 866-546-5254. Be glad to hear from you. Got about 10 minutes left in the program today. Where does the time go? My, oh, my. It just seems to vanish so very quickly every single day. Well, I was sorry to hear that story from Bruce. Jeez. I thought maybe that attitude was only prevalent at Walmart anymore, trying to fire people for mentioning union work, and they will. At Walmart, they will. They have. Let's put it that way. I don't know if they still show pictures of the film. I saw the film one time. Someone, I don't know how they pirated a copy of it, but they showed them a little film of how anti-union that they are, and pretty much let everybody know that hires in, the new hires all get to see that. Pretty much let them know that, hey, don't be talking union around here or you'll get your ass canned. I mean, that's just pretty much how it is. I know we're all concerned with the war, and that's the number one thing on my agenda. That's the most important issue facing this country today, without question. It stands alone, number one. And we have Senator Pat Leahy, who delivered a very impressive speech at Georgetown University the other day, and I think it's worth mentioning. There are other issues beside the war that have to be worked on. And Senator Leahy of Vermont, I respect the man, says we have a duty to repair real damage done to our system of government over the past few years. He said this administration has rolled back open government laws and systematically eroded Americans' privacy rights. It has brazenly refused to answer the legitimate oversight questions of the public's duly elected representatives. Well, thank you, Senator Leahy, for bringing that up. You know, the Democrats still need to talk about Iraq. And we need to still keep people aware of what's being done there and what's going on there and how it happened and never let anybody forget for a moment. It should be the opening sentence whenever we speak. We should talk about it all the time. But our main focus from here on in should be to repair the harm that the Republicans have done to our way of life because of this war, actually, from here on in. The Democrats in the Senate and Congress should repair everything the Republicans have done to hijack our democracy and literally turn it into a piece of junk. We need to be telling the American people all the things the Republicans have been doing and what the consequences are and what we have to do to change things to keep it from happening again. The main issue in America today is power and its abuse, and Democrats have to make protecting it from abuse their number one priority, because if we didn't have an abuse of power, we wouldn't be in this war in the first place. We wouldn't allow an imbecile like Junior Bush to take this country into war. The balance of power shifted in this country to the White House. We no longer have a Congress that does legitimate oversight on the executive branch. They've completely abrogated their responsibility along those lines. Bush got the kind of Congress that he wanted. Him and Cheney, went down to Capitol Hill right away when the Bush administration took over and said, look, boys, this is how it's going to be. And it's how it has been. They've been a rubber stamp Congress. They've been a new, a do-nothing Congress, and the Democrats went right along with them on a lot of these issues. And should not have. And I'm glad Senator Leahy understands that some of these things have to be changed and changed back. All of them should be changed back. It's too bad we can't just close our eyes and erase the fact. Maybe just wake up in the morning and say, this has all been a bad dream. This Bush administration has all been a bad dream. My God, could we really have dreams that bad? I don't think I've ever had any dreams this bad. But it would be nice it would be nice to come to the realization that it's all been a fantasy of something that, you know, a torment to everybody's minds. But it's real, and we have to keep talking about it, and we have to change it. It's imperative that we change it. Found, looking for my notes here, found an interesting story. Ah, the cost of equipping an infantry soldier. You want to know what this war is all about? This is what this war is all about. This and the oil. I think you could say both of these things are exactly what this war is all about. The cost of equipping an infantry soldier has tripled from $7,000 in 1999 to $24,000 today. The cost of Humvees went from $32,000 in 2001 to a breathtaking $225,000 each today. The cost of training, feeding, and housing Army recruits went from $75,000 per soldier in 2001 to $120,000 today. Now, do you suppose, would you just guess that maybe since the Army uses private contractors like Halliburton, Kellogg, Root, and Brown to provide most of the non-training services such as food service and basic maintenance, that that's part of the reason that these costs have skyrocketed? Here we had a government that couldn't send the proper equipment over when the money was being stolen, not in the sense of a John Dillinger style bank holdup, but in the gentleman's way of stealing money nowadays, to just get a no bid contract with the government and overcharge them till hell won't have it, to do the old cost plus thing. Government contracts during this Bush administration, the oversight on them has been almost nil. There's been more money stolen from the government in the Bush administration than the last several administrations added together, we're told. Katrina. Look at the money that was wasted in Katrina. Look at the money that was outright stolen in Katrina for goods and services that were never provided. Look at the cruise line that sent ship in there and got paid for all this time. It made out like a fat rat. Look at the contractors that went in there and made money, ripping people off. And no oversight. And it's the same with the war. There is no oversight. No oversight at all. They have stolen the American people blind. Halliburton, KBR, the whole group of them, stolen us blind. And there isn't a damn person in the Republican administration that cares about it whatsoever. That's the cold, hard truth on what's happening in Iraq today. And I'm telling you that if they do not defund this war, if the Democrats don't get in on it and push for defunding this war like Dennis Kucinich wants to do, I'm going to be one super pissed off radio host. And I think I can probably look forward to being a super pissed off radio host, because they're given every indication right now, every indication that they're going to go ahead and pass this new supplemental bill for at least $100 billion, maybe more. It's wrong. It's the wrong thing to do. It's one more time that the Bush administration's getting away with taking money out of the Treasury. Treasury we don't even have. We'll be borrowing more. We'll be borrowing that $100 billion from the Chinese. We'll be floating more paper for it. That's what we'll be doing. But I'm going to be totally ashamed of the Democratic Congress if they go along with this. They had better not. I think there's plenty of voices besides mine that feel exactly that way. Hey, I want to thank you for being with us today here in the Guy James Show. Another couple of hours have passed ever so quickly. I want to thank you for your calls and your emails and your folks in the chat room. A couple of different chat rooms. Head on Radio Network chat room for one. So thanks for being with us today. Keep your powder dry and all that. and I'll try to do it as well. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang.